My husband and I bought our dream house in 2003. Well, the dream was what we thought it could become. It was a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, 40-year-old house that had never been touched. Even before the papers were signed, I was out there with my measuring tape and my drawing pencil, planning the remodeling. And it became my dream home. But as some of you might know, sometimes remodeling causes divorce. So, and that happened in 2008. And at the same time, the recession happened. So I was living there alone suddenly, and my income had been cut in half because my spouse was gone, and the recession hit, and the value of my house just plummeted. I lost all of my equity, and I couldn't even sell it. So I had to take a serious look at what my options were. I could have just walked away and let the bank have it. But I didn't want someone else to get the benefit of all of my remodeling. And I didn't want to regret this decision for the rest of my life. So one of the things that I did is I looked back at my life and looked at the way I made decisions and how these decisions had worked for me. So I faced something very similar when I was 27 years old. I was a small-town housewife in Ogden, Utah. I was recently divorced. I had 2 small children. I had just graduated from college, and I really did not like where I was living. So I decided to do something a little bit outrageous. I gave the kids to their dad for a little while. I packed everything I owned in the back of my car, and I drove to San Francisco. And I picked up a couple of hitchhikers on the way. And this was 1972. We all did that. And our first night in San Francisco, we slept under the trees in Golden Gate Park. So the next day in the park, I was talking to some people, and this is the way it was back then. They invited me to come and live in their commune in the Haight-Ashbury. So that's how I became a hippie in 1972. And I have lots of hippie stories, but I'm going to save those for another day. The important thing, though, was that we were making conscious decisions about the way we lived. We were trying group living. We were trying decisions by consensus. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But we were making conscious decisions about how we lived. So a few months later, I brought my kids out from Utah, and somewhere along the line, I started a business, and I bought a house, and eventually I went to law school. And I was 50 years old when I graduated from law school. And by that point, my kids were adults, and my second divorce was over with. And I decided to move to Washington, D.C. So I drove my 15-year-old car across the country by myself, and I had one suitcase and a blow-up mattress, and I didn't know anyone in Washington, D.C., but a friend of mine arranged for me to stay with somebody. And I didn't have a job, didn't know what I was doing, but I just reinvented myself again. And in those first couple of years, I stayed in 3 different situations where I was renting a room in somebody's home. And it worked out pretty well. And then I moved in with my boyfriend, and we got married, and we bought the house in Bowie, and that brings me full circle back to my dream home. Now, I'm facing this decision. What should I do? I wanted to keep my home. I decided that roommates were in my future. I decided I wanted to live with women my age in similar circumstances. I didn't know what I was doing. I just started trying it and did it and learned a lot along the way. That was 8 years ago. What I've learned is that living with people is a lot more fun than living by yourself. When I come home, there's someone who says, "Hi, how was your day?" I have someone to eat dinner with. I have someone to come and rescue me when my car conks out somewhere. I have lots of stories, actually. There was one time when we had 33 people for a sit-down Thanksgiving dinner. One time we had a Halloween party, and we had 75 older people walking around in these strange costumes. One time I had a woman living with me who was a compulsive cleaner. She'd get up in the middle of the night and clean the kitchen. And one time she cleaned my kitchen drawers without telling me, and she threw away something that she thought was trash. And it was very important to me, and I was not happy about that. Another time we have had situations where one of the roommates needed to go to the hospital or the emergency room, or we needed to call an ambulance, and there were people to help. It's a little bit like family. It's a little bit like college roommates. And sometimes it's a little bit like the TV show Golden Girls. There are five of us living in my house, and we call it a Golden Girls home. The key is to pick the right people. One time I had a wonderful woman living with me, and she was Seventh-day Adventist, and I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know that they did not celebrate holidays. Well, about the middle of October, I said something about getting out the Halloween decorations. And this woman's face went ashen. And she moved out 2 weeks later. Another time I was interviewing somebody as a possible roommate, and we were getting along just fine. And then we started talking about watching TV. And now I'm very political, and I follow certain social issues. And this woman started talking about this political commentator that I could not stand. I realized I could not live with her. Shared living for mature adults is very much like family. It's much better than living alone. We have companions. And for me personally, financially, I've been able to keep my dream home.